Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 29, and if you'll remember, we have been reading about the procedures for consecrating the priest and the protocol for the sacrifices that were to be made in this the ceremony that actually consecrated the priest. And so we've talked about the appropriate attire that Aaron and his sons were to wear, to adorn. And we've been reading about the different sacrifices that had to be made as a part of this ceremonial cleansing and consecration, if you will. And so this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to pick right up with part of those sacrifices that needed to be made for this consecration of the priest. In verse 23, let's take a look at this. So we're going to be reading about the grain offering, if you will. Verse 23. And one loaf of bread, and one cake of oil bread, and one wafer out of the basket of unleavened bread that is before the Lord.
So I just call these bread items to be put in the hands of Aaron and his sons, and then they wave them before the Lord. That's why it's called a wave offering. There's a heave offering, which is another wave, okay? Don't ask me the significance. I don't actually know the significance. In other words, it's showing, presenting it to God, okay? Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 25, and thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering for a sweet savor before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Now, something to notice here is that Moses is the one that's consecrating, mm-hmm. dedicating, setting apart. We can use these as synonym words, okay? And so Aaron and his sons, they wave, and then Moses takes that from their hands, okay? So Moses is actually doing the act of consecration here. And after these items are waved before the Lord, he burns them on the brass altar. He takes them from their hands, burns them on the brass altar, with the parts of the rams that we previously talked about, where he laid aside these parts. And this sacrifice was also a burnt offering to the Lord, a sacrifice with a pleasant fragrance to the Lord. Now, the way this is worded, it is extremely difficult to understand. It appears that part of this consecration ram was burnt, totally consumed, and yet there is the part that he had laid aside, okay, the internal organs and legs, okay. Then there is the other part that will be eaten, so that would be cooked and not totally consumed in the fire. That's the way it appears anyway.
Verse 26, and thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part.
And so this part, this breast, this is choice meat, this was Moses' portion. Now, Moses didn't say that. God said that. Mm-hmm. Or you could think Moses was, you know, getting the cream of the crop or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, this was the way God designated. Now, when we read the next verse, it's going to appear to be a contradiction. And we've looked at this, and I know God doesn't contradict himself. And so I have a thought that I'll present to you, and then I'll let you study it out, and then you can tell me if you find out differently. How's that?
That's good. All right. Verse 27, right? And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is waved, and which is heaved up of the ram of the consecration, even of that which is for Aaron and of that which is for his sons.
So the wave offering breast and thigh presented to the Lord. Now here it says it's set apart for Aaron and his sons, and that this portion of meat was their appointed share throughout their generations. In other words, this consecrated part will always be for Aaron and his sons, the priest, okay? Now, what you have to understand is there's two rams that are being sacrificed in this consecration act, okay? And so the only way that I know how to reconcile this is the breast of one particular one is going to Moses, and then this other, which is going to be an ongoing thing that they're going to offer, will always be the priest, Aaron, the high priest, and the priest's portion.
In verse 28, let me just catch up. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons by statute forever from the children of Israel, for it is an heave offering, and it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offering unto the Lord.
So this portion of the animals that were sacrificed, the wave breast, the thigh, this portion set apart for Aaron and his son from the offering presented to the Lord, also the peace offering. So from this day forward, as they're doing it, then all the sacrifices that are presented to the Lord and the peace offerings, the breast and the thigh, then will be Aaron's and his sons. Okay?
We've mentioned this before, but I think it bears repeating. So these sacrifices were, they provided food for the people, right? This was the diet of the priest.
It's their inheritance.
Mm-hmm. It is their inheritance.
That's their means of eating, you understand. And if you want to understand, if you want to see what a priest's diet is, then you look at this, and it'll refute a lot of the teaching that you're hearing today.
Bless you. Verse 29. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein, and to be consecrated therein.
So when Aaron, the high priest, dies, then the garments that were made for him, this priestly attire, was to be passed on to his successor, which we know was Eliezer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then when Eliezer died, it's passed on to Phinehas and so on and so forth. But they had to go through this consecration process in this attire, and you'll find this is a 7-day consecration period, okay? It's not just they just put on the garments. They have to be set apart. It's not just, well, I'm in line to be high priest. No, there's a consecration that's involved, okay?
And that son that is priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days when he comes into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place.
And so this consecration period means he has to stay in this tabernacle complex. He can't leave. For 7 days, he's there, and he cannot function as a high priest carrying out the duties until this consecration period is consummated.
There's a lot that could be said about that. And we talked today about the 7 days. You read a lot, you read over and over about the 7 days, 7-day period, 7-day period. But I think about, and we may have mentioned this before, that there's a time, even though the Lord has set you apart for a particular work, there's a time of training that needs to take place. And there's a time where you need to just sit and be still before the Lord and get your heart ready before you actually start doing any work. And to me, that's what I see in this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people misunderstand the difference between the call of God and the commission of God. God calls you, and so you're set apart, but that doesn't mean you're consecrated. You understand they had to go through this consecration period. We're going to bring out some principles here that I think should be applied today, because I think the Lord is giving us a message through all this. Now, I'm not talking about putting on garb and all this kind of stuff and robing up. No, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about our getting before the Lord to be set apart for the Lord. Especially, and we're looking at ministry here. You with me? And you're going to find that as we go on into this, that the tribe of Levi was set apart from all the other tribes. They could do things the other tribes were forbidden to do because they were not anointed to do it, if I can say it that way. Okay, and we're going to find out why. Okay?
Do you think about these high priests during the 7-day consecration period? He said, don't go outside my tabernacle congregation. I don't want you going out and mingling with the world, so to speak. You stay in, and you think about what that priest was seeing during that 7-day period. He was seeing day and night the business of the Lord before him, those 7 days before he did anything, witnessing all of that. Can you imagine what that would do to help him with his mindset, I would think, to be in the presence?
I think a key word in this is a complete consecration. And you'll find even in the consecration offering that it had to be totally eaten. You couldn't leave it till the next day. It had to be consumed. Either you consume it or you burn it with fire. It has to be a complete consecration. And I believe that that is really speaking. And you think about this, this is talking about people who minister to the Lord. There has to be a complete consecration. Okay? Now, I'll try not to get ahead of myself because there's some things rolling.
All right. Verse 31. And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
So the meat of this consecrated ram was to be boiled in a sacred place, and Aaron and his sons were to eat the meat of the ram and the bread that was in the basket. Now, it's not in front of the door of the tabernacle of meeting, as it's implied. But actually, if you look at the word, it would be near. There was a designated place that was called a holy place. A holy place is a place set apart as a sacred place. They didn't go into the tent to eat. You follow me? Mm-hmm. But just reading the King James Version, it appears that they go in the holy place. No, it shouldn't be the, it should be a. They are to eat this in a holy place, which would be near the entrance of the tent, okay, the designated place, which would be in the courtyard. Okay?
And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them, but a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. And if aught of the flesh of the consecrations or of the bread remain until morning, then thou shalt burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy.
Now, here's an interesting word. They were required to eat. Okay? So Aaron and his sons were required to eat the food provided as a result of the sacrifices by which they were atoned. We're talking about a complete consecration, a complete identity, if you will. And so this particular ceremony set them apart from all the other descendants of Israel to minister to the Lord. They're the only ones that can minister to the Lord. Even the Levites can't minister to the Lord. Only the priest. What the Levites could do was serve the priest as they ministered to the Lord. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so, if any of this meat or bread that had been provided through the consecration sacrifices was not eating, it was to be burned the next morning. It could not be eaten later because it was sacred. You take it all. A complete thing. It's just like, this is Paul pointing to Jesus. You take all. You're totally consecrated. You're not leaving things, well, I'll get a little dab today, a little dab tomorrow, a little dab. No, it's a total consecration. Okay, it's extremely important.
Verse 35. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them.
So the Lord told Moses, you do everything I've told you as far as this consecration. 7 days. 7 days. Now, a lot of people that, you know, hung up on numbers and all that, I don't know about all this stuff, but, you know, generally seven's thought of as a completion. You know, a week is 7 days and all. And I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm just going to say that God said 7 days, so that's what it took to complete the consecration. Mm-hmm. Okay?
And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it.
So a young bull was to be offered every day for 7 days, and it was to atone the brass altar, which was going to be the altar of all your burnt sacrifices, okay? And then note that not only did Aaron and his sons have to be consecrated, but even this altar, mm-hmm. okay, the vessels of God. So it's set apart, and afterwards it was to be considered sacred. In other words, that means you don't put anything on that that's not supposed to go there. This is a offering to sacrifice to the Lord. So anything that was laid on that altar after it was consecrated was to be sacred. Now, the King James Version almost sounds like it means that the altar would make it holy. Mm-hmm. No, it won't. If you put anything on it, it better be sanctified, set apart, consecrated, okay, to the Lord.
I want to go back to these 7 days, because when you look at verse 37, it starts off, 7 days shall you make an atonement. You know, so many times people want to fast track to something. Hmm. What's the quick way for me to do this? I can't tell you how many times I have conversations about this house, this college. How quickly can I get? How long is it going to take me? You know, when we're doing the things of the Lord, there's not a fast track. There's not an easy way. There's not an easy button. If we're going to do it His way, it's going to be in His timing. And so there's, to me, I see truth and principle embedded in this. Do we have high priests that go through this consecration today? No. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. He's completed all this for us. He doesn't have to do this. He's perfect. He's taken care of it. But are there truths in here for us to glean from? Yes. We do it God's way. We do it in His timing. We don't come to Him haphazardly. We don't come to Him any old way. If we're not standing righteous before the Father, we're not dressed appropriately and we won't be accepted. We have to be clothed in Jesus. And so we can look at this book of Exodus and think, well, this doesn't apply to me today. I don't need to take a look at this. If we have that mindset, we're doing two things. Number one, we're missing out what Jesus has done for us. Number two, we're missing out on the Word of God. Well, three things. We're missing out on principles that apply to us today. And so may we read this with the heart of reverence for the Lord this evening. May we read this with the heart open to the Holy Spirit, that He will instruct our hearts of how does this apply to me? Lord, how does Holy Spirit, what do I need to know about this altar? Let Him reveal to your hearts. May you do it to me.
You know, the mandate that God put on me when we started this was to put His Word into the hearts of people, into their spirit, okay? He never mentioned a degree. You understand? We're not about a degree. We're about getting the Word of God in. A degree is a bonus. That's just it, okay? But you can get a degree and still be as dumb as a wall it hangs on when it comes to knowing the Word of God. Our objective is to try to get the knowledge of the Word on the inside of you and to develop a desire in you to study the Word. Not just take our word for it, but to where you become a student of the Word the rest of your life. Not for a few years, but the rest of your life. And there is no shortcut to consecration. I can promise you that 4 years of Bible college does not qualify one to go into the ministry. It may in organizations, you may get into the organization. We're not talking about organizational ministry. We're talking about ministering for the Lord, ministering to the Lord. And it requires more than an education. It requires experience. It requires a relationship and fellowship, intimacy with the Lord. How can you tell me about the Lord if you haven't been with Him, spending time with Him, to where you know Him by experience, not by education? There is a difference. There's a difference between education and consecration.
Verse 38?
35. Right?
Mm-mm. I think we're really...
We covered this, right?
Yeah, I'm going to read 38.
Okay.
Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at eve.
Just to stop right there a minute and think about this. Every day.
Yeah.
Morning, evening, every day, a ram, every day. That's their diet. You understand? They have family. It's not with one man eating this, okay? And so food is being provided in the morning, and food is being provided in the evening. At the same time, God is being honored. You with me? These sacrifices are to the Lord. And His representatives are benefiting by the sacrifices that are offered to the Lord. Every morning, every evening. That's a daily process.
Do you think about what happens if the people don't obey? If they're not bringing that ram in the morning and they're not bringing it in the evening, what happens?
You see it. I mean, it's history. It's historical. They'd have to go to work and provide food for their family. What happens with that? God's house was being neglected.
Here's what I see in this. Obeying the Lord, it goes far beyond just you as an individual. The Lord has this set up so that what He lays on your heart to do is going to somehow help somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because this life that we lead is not about us. It's not about us.
Yeah, your life will have a ripple effect on other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're all influenced by someone, and we all influence people. whether you're trying to or not, your presence, your attitude, your words influence people. Actions. I could go on and on with the list.
All right. Verse 40. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shall do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto you, and meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory.
So with us, the animal sacrifices, the Lord is also providing them with what is called a grain offering. You have grain, you have fruit, and various things. Now here's the interesting thing to me, is the priest did not determine the quantity. God determined the quantity. When you offer this as a meat offering, as a sacrifice, then this is the quantity of the grain offering and of the drink offering. Okay, so you have these three things that are going on simultaneously. And what that's doing is providing for the priest. At the same time, it's a worship to God through sacrifice. By being obedient.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And something else that I want to point out here, they were to be offered, the sacrifices were to be offered, King James Version says, by or at, near the door of the tabernacle, the meeting where God's going to meet. Well, the brass altar was near the tabernacle. When you went into the courtyard, there's your brass altar. And in between the tabernacle and the brass altar, you have a brass laver. And so some were near. And these sacrifices had to be offered on that brass altar. Nowhere else on that place. That place is near where God's presence is residing, okay? Called a tent of meeting.
Verse 44, And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office.
Now note this. After the tabernacle of meeting, the brass altar, Aaron and his sons are consecrated. They're set apart for the Lord. Then Aaron and his sons would be perpetual priests for the descendants of Israel. Not until everything is consecrated. You understand? But once that consecration happens, then this is a perpetual setting apart. That's why I contend with you that anointing is perpetual. Inspiration comes many times. But when God sets you apart, you are set apart. And if you turn against God, turn away from God, you're still set apart. But there's an awesome accountability that goes with what you were set apart to do. You with me? King Saul could tell you the consequences. The anointing was never taken from him. But the Spirit of God left him. The inspiration left him.
Verse 45. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God.
Now, the Lord says, now after you consecrate all this, the tabernacle, the priesthood, once you get everything consecrated, then I'll show up. I'll come and dwell among you. But I'll dwell among you after you're consecrated. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Chapter 30. This chapter documents the dimensions and materials to be used to make the altar for burning incense, its placement in the tabernacle, instructions for burning incense and maintaining the candelabrum, atonement for the altar, taking a census and the ransom to be paid for atonement, the making of the brass wash basin and its stand and their placement, instructions concerning the basin's use, the ingredients for the atoning oil, the anointing of the tabernacle and the items pertaining to it, the anointing of Aaron and his sons, the penalty for duplicating and using the anointing oil for common use, the ingredients for the incense and the penalty for duplicating it for common use. All right, chapter 30. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon of shittim wood, shall thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 square shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make it in make unto it a crown of gold round about. And 2 golden rings shall thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof, upon the 2 sides of it shall thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal.
So you had the brass offer for burnt sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this golden altar, this is the altar of incense made of shittim wood overlaid with gold, pure gold. It's not nearly as big as the brass altar. It's 18 inches by 18 inches square, and it's 3 feet high. And this altar, at the corners of the altar, it was to protrude up, called the horns of the altar. At the 4 corners, and a gold molding is what we would call it today, was to encircle near the top, and then 4 gold rings were to be made into it underneath the molding at the 4 corners, and the purpose of that was to carry this altar.
And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold.
So poles made of shittim wood overlaid with gold were to be placed in the rings to carry the altar. You notice as we go through this, the book and the Pentateuch especially, the whole thing, you'll find that man was forbidden to touch these things. The poles went in, you didn't touch the altar itself. You didn't touch the Ark of the Covenant. You didn't touch the candlesticks and all these things. They were carried. And when they transported, only the priest could take these items and actually put them in coverings or whatever, especially with the utensils and all this thing. The Levites weren't allowed to do that. So these poles are to carry so you don't touch this altar, okay? This one's gold. This one's in the tent, okay?
And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee.
Now, if you just read this superficially, it sounds like it's in the Holy of Holies. But we know that it's not. It was impossible for it to be there. And I'm going to show you through this study that it couldn't be, okay? Even though the writer of Hebrews in 9:4, it sounds like it was in the Holy of Holies, okay? But he says that this golden altar of incense is to be placed in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where they called mercy seat and the cherubim, but it's outside the veil, not inside the veil. Okay? And so we need to keep that in mind. It's strategically placed, but it's not in the same room. But it's directly in front. Okay? Now, Moses knows where to place that.
Mm-hmm.
So when all this is set up, it's properly placed. We'll stop there and take a break, and we'll come back after the break.